This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. The geopolitical calculations that are going on right now in Europe, how much pain the 27 members of the European Union are willing to take in order to impose maximum pain on Russia, which is the whole point of these sanctions, right? Those geopolitics might be better called, in this instance, geoeconomics. Because the Europeans have banned Russian coal, not yet Russian oil and natural gas, even though that's where the money is. Reluctance that is easy to explain given how reliant some EU countries are on it, Germany specifically. The policy rationale behind letting that dependence develop was called change through trade, that doing business with countries like Russia would promote freedom and democracy over there. So how's that working out so far, huh? Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports from the European desk.
German lawmakers applauded when President Zelensky of Ukraine addressed them by video link a few weeks ago, but he berated them. He said they'd ignored the warnings about Germany becoming dependent on cheap Russian gas for one fundamental reason. Germany had put its own economic interests ahead of everything else, he suggested. That's not the way many German businesses and governments in the past would have put it. They said they were operating under the lofty notion that
economic exchange will help to build a peaceful world.
Ralph Bollmann, a political biographer, says that for several decades, Germany subscribed enthusiastically to the idea of change through trade, that trading with autocracies would not only be good for business,
that economic growth, wealth, will directly lead to more democracy, more freedom.
Putin's invasion of Ukraine has left that thesis in tatters. But, says Yanis Kluger of the SWP think tank, change through trade has long been a convenient, self-serving, and as it turns out, dangerous idea.
Germany intensified its business relations with Russia, although there was no sign at all that this would lead to any positive change in Russia, and in the end, it might have even emboldened Putin to do what he is doing right now in Ukraine.
It certainly helped him to pay for the invasion, he says.
These tanks that are rolling into Ukraine, to a large degree, have been financed by our energy revenue, of the money that we sent to Moscow in the last years. And this, of course, it's painful. It's a rude awakening.
Also painful, says Tim Rulick of the German Council on Foreign Relations, is the dawning realization that thanks to the change through trade policy, Germany has become dependent on some very autocratic regimes.
And those dependencies may limit the foreign policy choices we have, the political room to maneuver.
Germany's reliance on Russia for more than half its natural gas explains why the country has resisted the calls for immediate sanctions on all Russian energy. And could Germany's failure to denounce some of China's alleged human rights abuses be linked to this statistic?
Around a third of German car makers' sales are being made in China. That is, of course, enormous.
It's even bigger for Germany's biggest automaker. Volkswagen runs more than 30 factories in China, like this one in Foshan. And the company derives more than 40% of its global sales and profits from that country.
You get a rough understanding how over-dependent we are on China at the moment.
The move to wean Germany very gradually off Russian gas is underway, but calls for a reduction in exports to China have met resistance in the business community. Volker Trier is with the German Chambers of Commerce.
There is no reason to reduce trade to lose a market which is huge, which is still growing.
The Germans' urge to trade is pretty overwhelming. Exports account for almost half their economy. But now they can no longer claim, when trading with autocrats, that they're promoting freedom and democracy. At the European desk in London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.